you know, this is a good crowd. I was really not expecting that there would be very many people here. In fact, this morning until my truck started, I wasn't expecting whether or not I would be here. But fortunately, Lord blessed, and everything cranked up and went, and we've got the heat going in here. So I know it's cold outside, about 10 degrees, but it's nice in here. So let's take a little bit of time and reflect. Look into God's Word and see if there is a message there for you and I. This morning, I want us to look at two scriptures that are very close together that I think will be fairly familiar. This narrative, will be something that everyone, I believe, is familiar with. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. May God add to the reading of his scripture. God placed two very different trees in the Garden of Eden. And you know, sometimes I think we breeze over this, or I've been guilty myself of sometimes skimming over this without spending a lot of time thinking about it. And this morning I'd like for us to take a little bit of time and try to understand exactly what's going on here and why it is important. You know, there are two trees, as I said. The first of these trees we're going to talk about is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I ask, why did God place this tree in the garden? If it had not been there, if the tree of knowledge of good and evil had not been there, can you imagine how different history would be, how different the universe would be? Cain would not have killed his brother Abel. All of the evil that has transpired in the world since the beginning of time to now would not have occurred. All of the millions of people who have lived in this world and have been lost and have been in sin and have gone off to a devil's hell, none of them would have been lost. If God had not placed that tree in the Garden of Eden, the world would have been a massively different place. There would be no sin. There would be no death. There would be no disease. There would be no heartache. None of those things would have occurred. So we might ask why. Why would God put that burden on human beings? Because what that tree, we have a bird trying to get in, but be all right. He's cold. I understand. If God had not placed that tree there, humanity would have been vastly different. So what does the tree represent? That tree represented the ability of you and I to make a choice, to have a free will. We would have been essentially pets without having that ability to make that choice. We've got a little dog that we think the world of, and she's kind of a part of the family, et cetera, et cetera. But she doesn't have that kind of choice. She doesn't know right from wrong. She knows what whenever we scold her or if we spank her or something for doing something, but she has no concept that what she's doing is wrong or right. As far as that goes, in the wild, I love to hunt and I love to be out in nature, and I have found that sometimes animals will literally tear each other apart. You've not seen anything vicious unless you see a bunch of coyotes get a hold of some type of animal. They're not merciful. They rip it to shreds. But they don't do it with any malice. They don't understand any right or wrong. There is no evil. There is no hatred there. Without the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you and I would be essentially the same. We wouldn't have any comprehension of what right and wrong was. God knew when he put the tree there that mankind was going to eat of that fruit and that he would die because of it. And spiritually, we died. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil created in us sin, and it created in us death. I think of the tree of knowledge in a different way also. It is important to realize it wasn't just the tree of the knowledge of evil, it is also the tree of the knowledge of good, both good and evil. Sometimes we might liken this tree to science. You know, we try to understand and we try to have knowledge, and as a society, we value knowledge. We love to know learned people. We love to be around people who have a great deal of knowledge and a great deal of understanding. And trust me, if I am sick or something, I'm going to go look for a doctor that I think knows something, right? I want to find somebody that can understand my problem and has the knowledge necessary to deal with it. If I am in legal trouble, I'm going to try to find an attorney that can do the same thing. If I'm trying to fix a car, my old car is broken or something, I'm going to go to a mechanic that I think has the knowledge necessary to fix that car. So we value knowledge. And good knowledge is a great thing. On the other hand, there is knowledge of evil. There are things out there that I do not know, and I'm happy I don't. There is knowledge that I simply do not need to have, and you don't need that. It's hard to understand. We think of knowledge as something that seems like it's a good thing to know something, regardless whether it's good or bad. It'd be great to know it. And that's simply not the case. My father knew what it was to kill people. He did so in World War II, and it haunted him the rest of his life. He would like to have not had that knowledge. That's a knowledge I don't have and I don't want. I don't want to know what that is. There are cons and people in various positions who have learned to do a great deal of bad things. They have a knowledge of how to do things that I don't have. I don't want it. I don't need to know how to break the law and hope that I can get by with it. I don't need that knowledge. I don't need a great deal of the knowledge of the carnal sin that goes on in this world. I don't have that, and I don't need it, and I don't want it. That is an evil knowledge. But even what we consider good knowledge is not reliable. Science is not a reliable thing, as we have come to understand. On this date, January the 14th, in the year 1799, George Washington, the father of our country, died less than 24 hours after coming down with a sore throat. A lot of people don't know that about his death. He had gotten on his horse and ridden around his property, and it was raining and it was a cold, bad day. He came in that evening and he got a sore throat. In less than 24 hours, he was dead. Why? Not because of a sore throat. It was a minor illness. But because the science in that day said that the way to get rid of that was to let blood out. And they drained 40% of his blood, and he became so weak, he died within a day. That was settled science. You know, we're taught you need to believe the settled science. Well, that was settled science of the day, and it killed the very first president of the United States. In much more recent history, when COVID virus swept the world, our very own Dr. Anthony Fauci told everyone that if they would take the vaccine, they would be immune from the virus. Becky and I took it. We were holding church in a little room that was tiny at the time, and, you know, we talked about it, and I said, look, if we can take this shot and then we can't get the virus, we won't be able to get it, give it to anyone else, and I'll feel safe, and we can go about our business. He lied to us. I've had it four times now after taking the shot, right? I was also told, and all of us were told, that we needed to practice social distancing, that we needed to wear a mask, and we needed to stay home, and as a result, kids didn't go to school, and on and on and on. I don't know if you watched the news this last week. Dr. Fauci admitted there was no science to that. He said, I don't even know where that came from. We just kind of decided to do that. Settled science, knowledge of science, is not always a good thing. So if you put your faith in the knowledge of science, you're going to be misled. It's just like Adam and Eve when they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, Satan came to Eve and he said, you're not going to die. He lied to her. But he also said, look, this is good. It'll make you wise. This will give you knowledge. You will be a smarter person. You'll be like God. You will understand and know things. And he did give her knowledge. But it was not the knowledge she expected. So today in our world, we have to make a choice about knowledge. Do we trust that or do we not? The second tree, the tree of life. I think of this as the tree of holiness. Now, I know that's a difficult concept, I think, for all of us to wrap our head around. But what is life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life, the tree of life, is actually putting our faith and our belief and our trust in God completely. If we do that, we make a decision. I have a friend that I went to high school with, and I was talking to him about his salvation one day, and he told me, he said, you know, I can't believe this Christian stuff because I always think about the dinosaurs. And my response is, Mark, don't let some old bones send you to hell. It's not worth it. I don't understand. I've read various different theories about why the dinosaurs existed and yada, yada, yada. I don't care is the bottom line. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and in his holiness. I don't worry about the science. I don't care about the science. I care about Jesus. I care about putting my faith and my trust in God. Adam and Eve had the opportunity to eat freely of the tree of life. And while it records that they did eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't find a record of it saying, and they also ate of the tree of life. It was there, but they didn't eat of it. Holiness is a marvelous thing. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You and I cannot be holy on our own. I have reached an age where I understand that within myself, I can never be holy. I'm just not. But God is. So I reach out for his holiness. You know, holiness is a choice. We decide that we want to be holy. Just as Adam and Eve made the choice to eat of the tree of the good and evil and not the tree of life, you and I have to make the same choice. The two trees still exist in our world today. Oh, they're not planted somewhere. It's not like there's a mesquite tree or an oak tree somewhere that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but trust me, it's still there. That choice is still there for you and I to make. Do I choose to follow the settled science, as they all say, or do I choose to put my faith in God? Settled science is the same way with climate change and with every other new thing that comes down the pike. It sounds good, and they swear to you that it is science, and therefore it's true, and you shouldn't even question it. But the truth is, it's not settled at all, and it's probably a lot of it a lie. We have to make that choice. So I guess if I look at myself, my attempts to be holy, righteousnesses, are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. I cannot in my own self, I cannot be holy by myself. I can try. I can do everything in my power, and I should and I must. Every day, every morning, I start my day with prayer. And I pray, God, help me this day to do what you want me to do. Help me to be the man you want me to be. Help me to be holy as you are holy. But I don't always make it. You know, I read this prayer this woman posted. She said, my morning prayer, I say, Lord, today I have not lied. I have not stolen, I have not cheated, I've not felt envy or greed, I've not felt anger or hatred. Today, I have lived the kind of life you want me to live. But now I've got to get out of bed, and things are going to be a lot more difficult from here forward, right? That's kind of where I'm at. I start every morning saying, God, help me to be the man you want me to be, and then I go through my day. Sometimes I find myself like the publican who in church, Luke 18:13 said, the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful on me, a sinner. I'm a human being and I make mistakes. And sometimes I do things that I don't want to do. Sometimes I do things I wish I hadn't done. I'm given to have envy. I'm given to have greed. I'm given to get angry at people. You know, there are times when you would just want to hit somebody. I'm human. A little thing says, you look at people sometimes and you wonder, how is it possible that someone hasn't already hit you in the face with a shovel? Right? There are those people out there and you get angry at them. But God wants us to be holy. And so I pray, God have mercy on me, and I reach out for His holiness. The two trees are still present. God could have not put the tree of knowledge in the garden. He could take it out of my life, but He didn't. He gave me the choice. He gave me the ability to look to Him. What did we gain by that? Now, we've talked about what has been lost. What's been gained? For those who put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, for those people who repent of their sin and come to Jesus, we'll live for eternity, not as pets, but as children, as offspring of God Himself. We will know each other as we are known. We'll love each other. We will be live people forever. That's what's gained. That's holiness. That's what God wants us to reach for and strive for. It's not about breaking some little rules. It's about putting your faith in God every single day, regardless of what you go through, regardless of what path you have to follow in life. Put your faith in God and keep it there. That is the tree of life. For musicians will come. This morning we're going to open the altars. If you have anything that you want to pray about, anything that you need, I encourage you, come to these altars. We'll pray with you. There are people here who love you. We serve a God who can take care of any need you have. Please stand while we sing.